Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. We said this yesterday. Could not be more apparent today. Kick the damn thing off! Right, E?
Yeah, I'm with you. Oh. I'm right there with you.
Gotta happen. Gotta happen soon. Welcome inside the playbook for Thursday. Game week, AFC Championship. Patriots, Ravens here at Gillette on Sunday afternoon, and the weather plot thickens, does it not?
Well, I'm seeing snow for Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, though, at this point. And I'm seeing.
I'm listening to Boston radio earlier today, and they're talking they could get up to 6 inches in Boston.
On Saturday?
On Saturday.
And then Sunday still cloudy with the threat of something?
The threat of precipitation still in the mix for Sunday, which means it's liable to be sloppy here on Sunday at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Temperatures.
That's good news for the Patriots.
Temperatures are still supposed to be upper 30s to low 40s.
They've never lost in the snow.
No. So, in that regard, what the hell's going on outside our door, by the way? You hear that?
Yeah, I think it's the CBS crew who never left from last week.
Jesus Christ, morons. Do they realize they're outside? They don't know that they're outside a radio door. Should I go open the door?
I could do it if you want.
I'm going to open the door.
Okay. Hold on. Just open the door and not say anything or just okay. John is no. There we go. Slam the door in their faces. And yet they still continue.
Dumbasses. They're in the media, right?
There's no red on-air sign.
We really should have a red light out there. We really should. There should be a red light, which means we're on the air, morons. CBS.
Silence, please.
Think of them kindly when you watch the game on television and know that they're all a bunch of moronic idiots outside the door, you know, making noises and talking like, you know, roadies. They're what they are. They're like band roadies.
That's exactly what they are. Yeah. They're roadies for the NFL broadcast. And you can laugh at every mistake they make knowing that they were, you know, hooping it up all week instead of, you know, doing what they were supposed to.
So if you see
technical difficulties.
If you see, technical difficulties or mistakes in the broadcast, you know where it originated. It started with these dumbasses outside the door here, you know, making whoopee or whatever they're doing out there. Because, you know, they could be doing anything. Right?
Yeah.
They set the green room up in here so the food is out, the tables
nice
are out.
They got in there.
Yeah,
too.
They do a pretty good job with the spread. I'm thinking about in partaking myself just to see if I can get one of them to say, "Hey, where are you going with that?" And I'm like, "I'm going in here with it. Follow me if you like."
That's the tax you get for making noise while we're on the
air.
Yeah,
you're making noise while I'm on the air here. Mm. Some of us are trying to work here. You know? I'm a little ornery today, sorry.
So that's the mood of the team this week, folks.
We're a little ornery.
That bodes well.
But we're all a little ornery. I think the guys are a little ornery, honestly. That's kind of where I was heading with this. I just think everybody's ready to play.
It's been a long week. I mean, literally a longer week than last week.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because the game is on Sunday. They had the game on Saturday
last week. It's been a little bit longer than normal.
That's right. They came off a bye the week before.
Right. A little bit longer than normal.
There's been more football not being played than being played.
That is obvious. Mm. It is obvious.
People are ready for that to change here.
You know, I've been listening, not only to the national thoughts here on the game, as we always do. I mean, we tune in NFL Network a little bit every day, watch a Sports Center, and hear what the, pundits are saying there. I just try to take it as much as I can. And I think I finally reached a saturation point where I'm like, I can't listen to any more of this.
No.
Because what they're saying... It's one of two things. It either makes no sense at all, I'm like trying to figure out what the hell game are you watching, or it's the same stuff regurgitated over and over again. I don't get anything new from anybody. Nothing that we haven't already talked about ad nauseum here on this show or on any other show on Patriots.com. And then I was listening to local radio this morning with some callers calling in from Baltimore. And I know we have some Baltimore fans listening because we've had a trickle of emails and even a couple of calls this week from Baltimore area fans, some of them Patriots and some of them not, some of them Ravens fans. And I'm appreciative of that, by the way. In no way am I disrespecting the Ravens. My confidence in a potential Patriots win does not mean that I don't think the Ravens are not capable. And I'm thinking maybe just a little bit that some of that has been misinterpreted. That was not what my intention was. As I've said all along, and I wanted to open up today by reiterating here that this is a game either team can certainly win. I think that this might be a situation where one team could lose it more than the other team can win it.
Kind of like the Texans lost it in Baltimore last week.
Yeah, the Texans did lose that game, and I think even Ravens fans have to admit that. Okay, in all honesty, that doesn't mean that the Patriots are a slam dunk.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the Ravens don't have a chance.
What we've done here, well, they've got more than a puncher's chance. Okay, and that's what we were talking about last week with Denver was a puncher's chance, and obviously they swung wildly and they missed. It's all going to boil down to a couple of very simple things. First and foremost is turnovers, mistakes. If the Patriots turn the ball over and they give it away more than they receive, then they're going to be in trouble. If the Ravens turn the ball over and they give the Patriots a freebie or two, then the Ravens are going to be in real trouble. I think the Patriots have more of an opportunity here than the Ravens do, but that doesn't mean the Ravens can't take advantage and do that and get the ball into the end zone. But I look at the Ravens and what they've done over the last few weeks, and I'm thinking, well, even if the Patriots turn the ball over, you know, in plus territory for the Ravens, it's not an automatic touchdown. Whereas if the Ravens turn the ball over in plus territory, I think Tom moves them into the end zone. I think based on what we've seen at least recently. So, you know, I think the Patriots certainly have that going for them. And even the most diehard Ravens fan has to admit that. Do I think Joe Flacco is capable? Yes. Do I think Rice is capable? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do I like their weapons? Do I think Anquan Boldin could be a nightmare in a matchup? Yes. Against the Patriots secondary? Absolutely. This game is going to boil down to mistakes, as all playoff championship-style games come down to. It's going to come down to mistakes. They all do. Now, if this game is played cleanly, in other words, neither team forces the other in turnovers, it's advantage Patriots. It's a slight advantage, but it's an advantage because they have, you know, as dynamic an offense as we've seen in recent memory, and they've got at least enough of an opportunistic defense, more so now that you can say, more so than what Green Bay and or New Orleans had, because the one thing the Patriots have done defensively that we've seen them improve upon is create opportunities for the offense by turning the other team over. They did lead the AFC in differential. So that's one thing that the Patriots' defense, as much maligned as it has been, mm-hmm. and as much as fans have laughed, and much as fans have said, oh, God, what was us? We don't have a defense. They have learned. And what is the one thing we talked about midseason, Eric, after they were 5-3 at one point? We talked about, you know, somebody in this defense had to learn to step up and make a play. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this defense has done. So I think we do have to give the Patriots' defense credit for having individuals now realizing that, hey, I got to step up and make a play. Whether it's Mayo, whether it's Ninkovich, whether it's Chung, whether it's Arrington.
Well, I think that's an important point, is that it's not one guy.
It's several guys making plays.
You don't know who it's going to be game to game.
Will Fork, Love.
Last game it was Ninkovich.
Right.
For the most part.
Carter, Anderson lately.
Right. And so, in a way, that's good because
yes.
you have several. You're not totally dependent on the one guy.
Correct.
And if, let's say it was Carter, because he was the sack king for the whole season.
Right.
He goes down, and you think, oh, that's it, there go the big plays. Well, no, not necessarily.
No, they've had other guys step up, which is one of the encouraging things that we can say about a team that did give up, was 31st in yards allowed, you know, overall, and dead last in passing yards allowed in this league.
They are peaking at the right time.
Yes. This is the right time. And as much as they have bent this year, the one thing they have not done completely is break. They've bent. They haven't broken. Now they've learned to have individuals step up and make plays to disrupt potential long drives or scoring drives by an opposing team offense. And I'm just not sure that Baltimore is going to be capable of a 12-play drive. I just don't know if it's possible. And the only way that Baltimore can do that this week.
Unless they're running the ball?
Precisely. They've got to run the ball, and they've got to run the ball for 4, 5, and 6 yards at a whack. And you know that has to be focus one for the Patriots defensively this week, and that's stopping 27. Ray Rice, got to find a way. He's your leading rusher. He's your leading receiver. It all starts with 27 on the Baltimore offense. And if you slow him down, you're going to force Joe Flacco to go someplace else. And that's where I think the Patriots have an advantage. Again, with all due respect to Bolden and some of the others that they actually have in there, that's where they've got an advantage. I think the Patriots match up favorably without 27 in the equation. And it's not the same Baltimore defenses back in 03 or 04 or certainly back in 2000 when they were maybe the best defense in NFL history. Maybe.
Yeah.
Still kind of favor
the 85 Bears.
The 85 Bears. But I put 2000 Baltimore within a hair's length, okay? I really do. Hair's width on that one, you know? So I got to give them the due. But it's not that vintage. You know, Ray Lewis, still a solid inside linebacker. He's not the force he was 6 or 7 years ago. He doesn't have the speed. He can't cover. I'm begging Gronkowski to go one-on-one with Lewis. Begging. I want to see it. Gronk will kill him. He doesn't have the foot speed to stay with Gronk. Aaron Hernandez, too. Are you kidding me? Ray Lewis is just kind of...
That's a complete mismatch.
That's a complete and total mismatch.
And even Gronk... I mean, Gronk's a mismatch for any linebacker.
Well, that's what I'm saying here. You know, he's a mismatch for even the best in the league, and, you know, Ray's going to need a little help here. Now, he might get it, but it's going to be up to Tom Brady to recognize the mismatches and go that direction, and that's what Tom Brady does exceedingly well. And Tom is zoned in as well as he has been maybe ever in his career. You can think 07, but even then, late in 07, when teams are starting to figure the Patriots out a little bit, he wasn't locked in. I think Tom's on a mission here. I think the last two postseasons have really stuck in his craw and some of the other veterans' leadership on this New England team. And I think they're using this largely to fuel what's going on. And I think the defense has caught wind of it. And the young guys, the Ninkoviches of the world, and the Dane Fletchers who have been unsung heroes, and we talked about unsung heroes in yesterday's show, these are the guys that have stood up. The Kyle Loves, who to me has been a tremendous story this year for this New England team, he's learning from Vince Wilfork. Guys are seeing what Mark Anderson has done to pick up the slack from an injured Andre Carter. I mean, you know, it's encouraging to see. It doesn't mean that Baltimore doesn't have a chance. But these are the stories that we're trying to tell this week based on our experiences and why I think we're relatively about as confident as you can be in terms of looking at this as a potential New England win to get to the playoffs. But next week, if we're back wrapping it up as opposed to talking about the Super Bowl, then my educated guess is that if we're back wrapping it up, it's because Baltimore took advantage of the opportunities that New England left on the field for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and I don't want Ravens fans who might be listening to get the wrong idea. I agree that it's going to be a very close game. It's going to be tight. It's going to come into the fourth quarter being undecided.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. But I will tell you this. Patriots are plus one in the giveaway takeaway. In other words, let's say they have maybe one turnover and they've gotten two from Baltimore. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's a 10-point game. I think the Patriots, as it stands right now, are exactly what the odds makers say, 7-point favorites. Because they got home field, they got the momentum, they should be about a 7-point favorite. But if you're plus one in giveaway takeaway, you're talking double digits. If you're plus two, you're bordering on a rout. That's what I'm saying. Now, if Baltimore is plus one, I think you're talking about an even game. Dead even, could go down to the last possession type of thing. If Baltimore is plus two, Ravens can win this game.
Yeah, I give the Ravens a lot of credit because of their defense.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If that defense creates turnovers,
the offense will do just enough to stay in it.
Exactly. That is what Patriots fans need to concern themselves with, that Baltimore's offense is at least capable. And so it's going to be imperative upon New England not to make mistakes, because if you can play Baltimore even, you should be fine. If you play within one turnover, you should still be in the ballgame. But let's say Tom Brady throws a couple of picks and maybe I don't know, Stephen Ridley fumbles it. And that's the one guy that worries me offensively, because I'm just not entirely certain about his ball security. But let's say the Patriots have three turnovers against the Ravens, and the Patriots are only able to pick off Flacco once. You're minus two now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that indicates Baltimore's probably got a lead somewhere. Or the Patriots are coming from behind in that fourth quarter, Eric. That's what I'm thinking here. Now, yell at me all you want today, next week, if we're back one way or the other, but that's kind of how I'm looking at this. You want to really get down to the nitty-gritty, this game is going to be decided, as all big games are, by mistakes, and mistakes also include penalties.
Yeah, I won't guide
you. You cannot give up the 45-yard pass interference, which we have seen the secondary do. You cannot commit the offensive holding, which we've seen Logan Mankins do, to call back the, you know, 25-yard pass to Gronk over the middle. Can't do that. If you do that, that's almost like a turnover.
Yeah, especially red zone penalties.
Oh, red zone penalties are turnovers. I think there should be a completely different statistical category for red zone penalties, because that's taking points legitimately off the board. Off the board. So let's watch these things very closely on Sunday. And if the Patriots can stay in that, you know, 0-5 penalty, not have any penalties that kill you like the big pass plays, or, you know, the gut-wrenching holding, or on a kick return and you get a crackback block or something, like they can keep from having the big penalties, the Patriots should be fine.
That all said, it'll still be a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I think the Patriots will probably, I think they'll have the advantage. It should be, I can see where this would be about a 24-17 type of game going into the fourth quarter. And the Patriots, if they're lucky enough, then, you know, they have the ball and an opportunity to go up two scores, and Baltimore's playing from behind. Or if Baltimore has the ball and they're a touchdown down, they're a possession behind, and they've got the ball, then I can see the Patriots trying to, you know, do some things defensively to force a turnover. You know, maybe they gamble a little bit, knowing that, well, they've got Tom Brady on their side. You know, time to step up and make a play. Let's make a play here.
I don't think the Patriots score 30 in this game, but I still think they win.
Well, I think, you know,
and I still think they cover, get a late cover.
A late cover?
Yeah. I think it's going to be.
Did you predict your score? Did you predict your score?
I did in the previous show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to wait until the end of the hour before
you
do it again?
Do you want me to do it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's, and I'll just predict the entire scenario for you. It's going to be a Patriots 17-10 lead in the fourth quarter.
17-10.
Flacco is going to have the Ravens driving for a potential tying score, and he will make the fatal mistake, turn the ball over, pick six, fumble, something like that. Patriots turn it into 7 points, and they win 24-10.
24-10. I think it's going to be a little higher scoring than that. I'm going to go with the score that the rookie gave me earlier this week.
That would be Austin.
I had Austin in here on Tuesday, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, he got out of an early exam, so I had him on, do a little analysis. And
he's good at picks.
It's a largely favorable response. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't have to prompt you on that one.
Nope, he's very good.
There were a couple of listeners who remembered him from the Beat the Rookie contest.
Yes.
We didn't get a chance to do that this year because his holidays included. His schedule didn't allow it. He's in big demand, you know.
Yeah,
he's in big demand. But he says 31-20, Patriots. 31-20, and I'm
a lot of points on a Ravens defense.
It's a lot of points on the Ravens D, but I'm going with the 31-20-23.
So a slight cover.
Yeah, a slight potential cover for the Patriots. Mm. It's going to be about that. And I'm only doing that because I think the Patriots end up with a turnover in their favor. Plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plus one could end up making the difference. So
that's where I'm going, John,
with the score.
I hope it's a clean game.
Well, everybody wants to see a clean game.
No, I hope it's really – I don't want either side to be committing stupid penalties. I don't want it to be an excuse, in other words.
Right,
I don't want it to be like, well, you know, if the Ravens hadn't committed those penalties,
you don't
want different.
You don't want to win a game like Baltimore beat Houston.
No. I want it to be a, you know, line yours up. No injury excuses, no penalty excuses,
right.
Not even any turnover excuses. Just give me a line up. I want it to be good, clean football for 60 minutes. And I want to see who the better team is.
Could not agree more. We want to see that. Now, What I have for you today, in addition to your predictions, which we want everybody to chime in on your predictions today. This is the second biggest game of the year. The biggest game of the year, obviously, is if you get to the Super
biggest
Bowl.
Biggest one so far. Yeah.
So far. But this is definitely the biggest one of the year so far.
Yeah.
There aren't any more if you don't win this. So
nope.
That's why this is the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to chime in on your prediction. Give us your score. Give us your team. Ravens fans, you're welcome. Please send in your score. If you like your team, that's fine. Tell us why you like your team. Where's the difference going to lie? What is going to be the difference maker? Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. The ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Please pick up the phone and call. Love you to call. Love to talk to you. We've had great phone calls from all over the country this week. Want to continue that process here. Yes, Baltimore, you are most definitely included. Come on into the playbook. All comers allowed. 508-298-0398. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the name. And submit the friend request if you haven't done it. We'll answer that for you in the affirmative, and then you can chat, post, message, whatever you want to do. And then follow us on Twitter here, at JRook0722. J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. What's your Twitter address again?
Give it. PFW.
PFW Eric,
Eric,
right?
With a K.
K.
Yeah.
At PFW Eric with a K. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. But I need the help more than he does, so follow me first. Thank you very much.
I'm well over 2,000 now, by the way.
You did get over 2,000?
Oh, yeah,
well,
easily.
I'm not quite at 600. I got to get there. I need some help.
Thanks for the help, all you people out
there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Need some help.
Yeah, if you follow me, follow John, too.
You should. I mean, come on. Give me, throw a guy a bone here,
It is your show. I mean, come on.
Well, I know, but I mean, Eric's the man with the knowledge here. This is why we have him on the show.
I'll start building your Twitter handle into bumpers for next season.
Yeah, we got to do that.
It'll just be like, I'll just build it into the bumper, call John on the ACE ticket hotline, blah, blah, blah.
Follow him on Twitter,
and then I'll have your Twitter handle.
That works. Say that works.
Yeah, we often get questions via Twitter.
We do.
You get the at mention.
Yeah.
So you can do that. That's yet another way to get in touch with the show.
Absolutely. It's all good. See, we got Derek, our friend Derek Havens out in at the University of Arizona.
Yep.
He's mentioning me on Twitter now. He retweeted one of our tweets here, because Russell Baxter will be coming up in the next hour, so it's always good when we have that. And those of you that get those tweet messages and you're listening in, follow us here. Follow us. I'll follow you back. Everybody's happy,
and
right?
Here's the thing. I can't speak for everybody in the media, but I try to limit the ridiculousness on Twitter. I don't like to clutter people's timelines with foolishness.
That's exactly the point. And that's a perfect reason why you should follow us here on Twitter, because I will tweet probably once or twice a day. I try to save it. I don't like to clutter inboxes or people's phones with their, tweets. I want to make sure that I have something worth it. It's always going to be, work related. I don't tweet, hey, went and saw the movie today, or went out and had chicken
getting
fried steak, or I'm getting a haircut, or, had to go buy underwear today.
Taking a pee is another favorite.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I don't like getting those tweets, so I'm not going to give you those tweets.
And you're not going to give us those B.B. Jones type pictures either, which is good.
No, I don't think I would do that. First of all, I'm not getting those kind of pictures. But no, I wouldn't retweet them anyway. Look, I'm very much a do unto others kind of person. I treat people the way that I want to be treated. So just keep that in mind. That's how I kind of roll here. And that's why we think you should follow us. At JRook0722 and at PFW Eric with a K.
That's right.
All right, now that we've made our case, let's take a timeout because I need to log back into the inbox. inbox here from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Got to get that one in, too. Inside of Gillette Stadium, it is AFC Championship Week. Need your predictions, score, who's going to win and why. Let us know how it's going to shake. And then the other question I have is, who's the better matchup potentially for New England in the Super Bowl? Something that we might hopefully carry over to next week. Who's the better matchup as you start to look at it? Who do you really want to face? Niners or Giants?
Can I get my answer?
No, we're going to wait until we come back from the break, and then you can give your answer. All right? That's called a tease
yes.
in the business, right?
Yeah.
We'll tease that. But who do you want to face coming up? If we have the opportunity to face, who's it going to be? That's coming up in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Gear up for the AFC Championship at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Indeed, we must. We must have your Word of the Day, Mr. Scalavino.
Okay, well, today...
And we missed yesterday. So we let you go, so we need two words of the day.
Yesterday's Word of the Day was... Yes.
Fragile!
Nope, that was not the Word of the Day. And that's Italian for brittle. No. Yesterday's was...
Thank you very much.
Perfidy.
Perfidy?
P-E-R-F-I-D-Y. Perfidy.
Perfidy.
Yes.
And that means what?
Deliberate violation of one's beliefs or treachery.
Use it in a sentence.
Treachery.
I sound like the spelling bee here. We should have had a...
I'll use it in a Patriots-related sentence. Many Patriots fans felt that Eric Mangini's departure from New England was an act of perfidy.
Okay. I can think of a few other choice words besides perfidy. Exactly. We really should have a spelling bee. I think we need to have a Patriots Playbook spelling bee.
For the first time in the history of this segment, I'm running out of music.
Running
here.
Out of music?
All right, what's number two?
Number two is anneal.
Anneal?
Anneal. It's a verb. A-N-N-E-A-L.
E-A-L.
Anneal. The context I'm using it in is the second definition, which is to temper. Which is another Patriots-related thing. They're tempering their emotions this week.
Oh, I thought it was...
Trying to contain the overwhelming feelings of enthusiasm. A kneel. Yeah, and it comes from...
Tom Brady does at the end of a win.
I was just going to say that. You stole it. Come on, Matt. Come on. That's what Tom Brady does at the end of the game. He takes a kneel.
Right. What Tim Tebow has been known for doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
But the primary definition of a kneel is to burn glass at such a temperature that it melts.
Okay.
And then... stop the burning process so that the glass can then recool.
That's interesting.
So that's where the second definition of tempering comes from. So the Patriots this week are trying to anneal their emotions in advance of the AFC Championship.
They're trying to set the Ravens on fire? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're trying to control themselves.
Okay. I still like the other one better. Tom Brady takes a kneel at the end of the game. Okay, that makes good. All right, well, that's two good words.
I'm trying to tie it into the Patriots this week, too.
I like perfidy, too. I've never heard that word before.
Really?
Never heard
good.
It. That's a good one.
Thank you.
You're outdoing yourself, Eric. Did you score well on the SATs?
I did very well on the SATs.
Probably on the verbal, right? Like me. I did pretty well on the verbal. I did less perfect on the...
Math?
Less perfidy on the math.
Less perfidy on the math? No, I was actually very good at math.
Were you?
As well. The only thing I sucked at...
Nerd?
...was geometry.
Oh.
I was terrible at geometry, but all the other stuff...
I was good at geometry, I sucked at algebra.
That algebra and calculus... And
algebra!
All that stuff, that was that all came fairly fairly straightforward.
Okay.
You're saying calculus came easy to you?
Yeah.
Really?
That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Eric and tell me what you think of. Nerd. Right.
That's why I ain't got no hair, because the brain is so big it forced them all out.
He's a nerdy kicker. What does that tell you? Okay.
That tells you a lot.
That tells you a lot. All right, Derek, What's up, my man?
He's got a lot of hair, by the way.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I can't help but get some maritime riffs. I don't know.
I know.
We
figured you were probably, you know, due for something today. You've sent me a tweet and you've sent me, a Facebook post, and now you're on. I mean, you're just all over the place.
We need to queue up the drop that says, "Well, I'd call you a media whore, but that'd be offensive to whores."
I figured I'd get that with the Perillo reference.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
There you go. That's just for you, by the way.
That's all right.
All right, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen Sunday?
Well, I just got back from class. You know, actually, Eric, I did go today. And
teacher must have been shocked.
And I hear Eric's scenario. Or are you guys going over it? I'm telling you, I'm going to be really nervous if it's that kind of a game.
Well, be prepared right now. Just be prepared for it right now. And then if it turns out to be otherwise, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
You know what? I guess that's a good way of looking at it. I guess it's just come to the point where we've seen this offense be so good. I'd be surprised if they don't hit 30 points, even against the Ravens defense.
This is a really tough defense, man. Asking them to score 30 on them is a tall order.
It's definitely a false confidence, probably. Maybe not a false confidence, but, you know, fans are definitely getting amped for this game, so as they should be. So, I don't know. I'm still thinking 34-23. The 23 I feel better about because I feel like the Ravens will probably get a couple touchdowns and kick some field goals. And, you know, the 34 is a lot of points to hang up on the Ravens. But I just feel like the offense is clicking really well. And so that's what I'm kind of going with right now.
Okay. It's a good estimate. It's a good estimate. I said 31 to about 23, so.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. So, but I'll stay consistent with throughout the week. I'm trying not to, you know, change too much, but, you know, I definitely agree with you that, you know, Ray Rice needs to be the top priority. You know,
he is.
Out of the backfield.
He's got to be. I don't know that there's not another priority. It starts and stops with 27. And if you're able to keep him in check, you win the game. It's that simple. If you can't keep him in check and he's able to get loose and he can rush for 120 yards or, you know, catch, you know, 7 or 8 balls for about 80 yards, Patriots are going to be in real trouble. It's that simple.
Yep. And he's the team's leading receiver, too.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, I was just speaking to Twitter. I just posted something. He led the team with 76 catches.
Right.
So it's not that he's just getting the ball in handoff situations. I mean, they're getting him the ball in space, and, you know, he's a great person to have, you know, with the ball in his hand. So they definitely need to be sure to, make, you know, just at least contain him. They don't have to completely shut him down, but they have to contain his big plays. And if it starts getting to that point, like I think you also mentioned earlier, where he's ripping off 4 or 5 yard gains every single time he gets to the ball, I mean, it's going to be a long day for the defense.
Agreed.
You will respect my authority.
Yes, you will. You will respect my authority.
But, you know, I am under the belief that, you know, like, you know, Eric's scenario, you know, I even though I don't like the score when it does happen, I do feel like Flacco will make a mistake. Now, would it be exciting if it happened the way Eric's scenario played out? Yeah, it definitely would be. You know, but it's not only that Flacco's throwing picks. I mean, he's fumbled the ball 10 times this year.
Well, that's why I said
lose the ball any way possible.
That's why I said it. Not necessarily a pick six. It could be a lost fumble, you know, scoop and score kind of thing. It could be turnover on downs. There's something that the defense will do that Flacco will be involved in somehow. And I think that could be the turning point in the game late in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I'll go along with it.
I can see it. So, I mean, it's going to be a really good game. And, you know, the question I have for you guys real quick before I go is, do you think we're going to see, you know, more McCourty at safety this week?
I don't think that changes. But again, it's situational. It's not like he's coming out there starting the game.
Yeah, it's a situational thing, not a permanent.
Right. He's nickel and dime safety. That's the way that's what we've seen, and I haven't seen anything to lead me to believe that that's going to come to an end.
Right.
Now,
I just wanted to chime in real quick, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, Big D. Thanks, man. All right, Derek at the University of Arizona. Another Big D here, our friend Dagmar. Eric with issues in geometry? Really?
Yeah.
Come on, Eric Thomas Scalavino. People who draw like we do are supposed to be good at it, buddy. That was, in fact, my favorite subject in math class.
I hated it.
Planar geometry. Is it planar?
Planar.
Planar?
P-L-A-N-A-R.
Yes, yeah. Geometry. And analytic geometry, which in my opinion is beautiful.
Back to football now, go Pats. Yeah, I was about to say. Dag, you lost me on that one, brother.
Part of it, Dagmar, was I had a really terrible geometry teacher, too. This man was awful.
Well, your whole problem is you had a man. You need to have a woman.
Well, then
woman
I really would have been distracted.
Well, it depends.
I would have been more concerned with anatomy instead of geometry.
I had a math teacher in elementary school who had two thumbs on one hand.
What?
I had a math teacher in elementary school who had two thumbs on one hand.
Is this some kind of joke?
Nope.
Or?
Nope. She had double thumbs. Yeah.
She?
She.
Oh.
It was a she. Older woman.
Really?
Yeah, but she had double thumbs.
This was, did she have five digits then? Or six digits?
Six
or?
Digits on one
really?
Hand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ooh. Absolutely. And I think a couple of my friends are listening. They know exactly who I'm talking about.
Wow.
She taught math. She was a little bit of a, curt lady. That should be another word of the day.
Maybe because she was mad that she was
had
different.
Double thumbs? I don't know. I always thought she had one to give. So, you know, we always talked about used to break one of her thumbs and this, you know, one would, another one would probably sprout. Wow. Kind of like, you know, a starfish.
Right.
So.
Maybe that's why she became a math teacher. I don't know. She could count more than the other kids.
Okay. So we digress. Let me get some of the predictions in here. All right, here we go. From Facebook, Shannon says Patriots 41-17.
Wait, did you finish Dagmar's?
Yeah, I finished Dagmar.
Oh, okay.
Dagmar was done. He only
he
wanted
gave
to
a prediction?
Give you, no, he didn't give a prediction. Dag, what's up with that? He didn't give a prediction. You know, I know he's going to pick anyway. Shannon says 41-17. This is a
41.
Yes, 41-17. This is Shannon Sirakovich, who's our East Side Razorback stud. You know, from Australia. Yeah, they American Football Championship.
Right. The Shannon threw me off. I was thinking of a girl.
No, it's a guy, Shannon. By the way, he did say anytime we can get down under, he'll take care of us, mate. We got a place
Australia's
to stay.
Australia's on my list of places to go.
Yeah,
it's a long list, but
it's on the bucket list.
It's definitely on there.
Yeah, it's on the bucket list. Shannon, we're coming, okay? We want to come in the wintertime. Well, it's tough to come in the wintertime because we got football going on here.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to get down there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so
Australia and New Zealand.
As long as you're taking care of us. We'll come take in an Eastside Razorback game. Maybe Eric can get Fred to pay for it.
I can't even get to go to the Pro Bowl.
Really? That's just Hawaii. Come on.
I know.
All right, Andre, Patriots 31-17.
High scores.
Robert says 27-13.
It's a little more like
Gustavo, who's our friend in Brazil. We got places we can go. We got people we can stay with.
Wait, anywhere in the world,
I know,
basically.
We can. Gustavo says, Pats go to the Super Bowl again. He says 23-20.
That's a lot more in line with what I'm thinking.
Jason says, Patriots 24-14.
Although I did give him a cover with 24-10.
You did. 24-14, Patriots. Key to winning Sunday, controlling Ravens' Ray Rice, winning the point of attack, battles on defense.
Yeah.
Offense must expose Ravens' aging linebackers in coverage and must make Nada invisible. Bingo.
Mm.
That's good, sound thinking right there. Solid thinking.
Yep.
Brian says, the difference maker, Patriots 31, Ravens 20. It will be the guards and their performance in providing help on keeping Nada, Holodi Nada, out of Brady's face. I think the Giants' high-flying offense would make for a fantastic Super Bowl. Very different looking than 07, but I think the game would be just as competitive. Scarily so.
Well, that was a good segue into that question. I would rather see the San Francisco 49ers. For this reason, I know a lot of people want the rematch of Super Bowl 42 against the Giants, and
which I
all
do.
The storylines.
I am rooting for that.
Mm.
I am going to be rooting for the Giants. However, I agree with you. I think it will be San Francisco.
I want San Francisco because I think it will answer the question that has sort of defined this season, which is, has this now changed to? Well, we know it's a passing league, but has it changed the dynamic of defense wins championships? Has that adage now proven antiquated?
Mm-hmm.
The old school defense that the Niners run versus the high flying video game offense that the Patriots have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have two better examples of that this year. I want to see those two face off in the Super Bowl, and let's decide this here and now. Does defense still win championships, or is the momentum now on the offensive side? Which one is it? And all the other storylines of Brady facing his boyhood team, being able to tie Montana, all this stuff, you know, Super Bowl rings, all of those storylines. But it comes down to this: the best offense I can think of versus the best best defense. Line them up. Let's play ball. And that's what I want to see.
Pretty much what we would have, that's I think, if the Niners win it, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. Tim says via Facebook.
And we'll get some of that this week, too, by the way.
Yes, we will. We'll get a little bit of that.
We'll get a little bit of that this week.
Yes, absolutely. Says, I've been flip-flopping regarding who to pull for in the NFC Championship game, providing the Pats win. I think we match up better against the 49ers, who have very little on offense, especially in the passing game, compared to the Giants. But on the flip side, the Pats almost never lose to the same team twice in one season and have recent knowledge of the Giants. It's kind of interesting. That's a good way to look at it. Says, I suppose with the extra time to prepare between championship and Super Bowl, along with the added bonus of not having to listen to the verbal diarrhea about 07 and Sheely, I think I'll go with San Francisco. And then he says, prediction this week, 31-17. Pats win. Agree with Eric on the fourth quarter pick six to make it look easier in the box score than it really will be.
Yeah, it's going to be a very late cover.
Late cover.
Nail biter.
That Giants scenario is like an exact reversal of fortunes. They saw us late and beat us. If we went on to beat them, be like just flip-flop rules. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd still rather see the Niners.
Yeah. There's still a little bit in me that wants to see the Giants win because of the whole 07 thing. I'd love to have an opportunity here, and, you know, that would be a huge theme to it all. But I just my gut tells me it's going to be the Niners in a squeaker, kind of like maybe what we saw against New Orleans. I could see it going down to the last stinking play of the ball game. It's possible. Dag gives us his prediction. He says, Pats, I would say something around 24-17 or 28-21.
Okay.
Officer LaShawna from Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
She says, John, Patriots win 41-20.
Oh, wow.
And yes, on the Ravens defense.
Wow.
Okay.
Three touchdowns? Man.
I don't know, LaShawna. I don't know. That's a big margin. But you know what? Hey, maybe she knows something we don't.
She is in Vegas.
She is in Vegas, after all. What's your favorite sports book, by the way, LaShawna? Do you go? I mean, are you allowed, you know, I don't, when you're off duty to go, you know, partake and your favorite place? I'd like to know what your favorite place is, because I have my favorite places. I haven't been to Vegas in a few years, but
MGM Grand?
That's one. I love their sports book there. It's great. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Alan says, John, I think this game is going to be very, very close. It will come down to who turns the ball over the least. We protect Brady, we win. We score 30, we win. We protect the ball, we win. Win the turnover battle, we win. Fail to do any of these, we lose.
Wait, so they have to do all of them?
That's what he says. I don't want to tell you my score prediction in fear of jinxing, so I won't. But he says, I really want us to win this game because I don't want to have to see that ridiculous mustache of Joe Flacco's for 2 weeks. And the thought of having to see the Ravens and the Niners will bore me to tears. Other than the fact that you'll hear about, you know,
the Harbaugh brothers.
The Harbaugh Bowl is what you'll hear about for 2 weeks. You know.
So. By the way, Wes Welker's mustache isn't any much more attractive than Joe Flacco's.
No, he's got a porn stash, doesn't he? Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Matt. See, yeah. Just about to say, cue the porn music.
Yeah.
Dude. You got to learn to grow one first before you can actually have one, right? And it's not good.
I don't know. I think that's cue up that soundbite now too.
Great. I think that's I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Yes, yes, it is. Living in Scotland, I will have the luxury of being able to get away from it if we lose. I want no part of the Giants. I think the Niners will be easier to beat for us, despite being, in my opinion, better than the Giants. Also, the thought of losing another one against the Giants would be absolutely devastating to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, see, but that's not a reason to shy away from it. Come on.
No, I just...
You got to be a man and stand up to this. So what if they beat you?
You want
to get back in there
line
against the guy that knocked your, you know what, in the dirt, and let's get back at it again. Come on! Seriously? You don't want to play the Giants, get the yardie whipped just one time?
No, I just don't want to hear the talk for 2 weeks. It's boring. I already went through the 2 weeks of hearing the Giants and Eli and Justin Tuck and all these guys.
Thank you.
Jacobs, yes. Coughlin. Yes.
Thank you. Dino says, BB doesn't defer kickoff. Brady scores 7. Forces a 3-and-out next. Pats go up 14. Flacco starts throwing. Doesn't do a good job of it.
Oh,
big
boy.
Games by Ninkovich and Welker. Pats win handedly 34-17.
All right.
Zachary, he said, this is chiming in after yesterday with the most unsung. He says most unsung is Dante Scarnecchia. No matter what injuries that O-line gets hit with, Brady's uniform stays pretty clean.
Yeah.
Granted, Bill has always kept the talent level on the O-line pretty high, but seeing guys like Connolly, Wendell, Thomas, Neal, Copen excel at play at near Pro Bowl levels has to be a testament to Dante's coaching. Not to mention how good Solder has been looked as a rookie and how easily Brian Waters has fit into the rotation. I can go on, but I think you get the point. That's a good point.
No arguments there.
Good point. All right. Practice today? What did we miss?
Nothing. Everybody was there. Tom Brady was back. The whole team was out there. It's a good sign.
That is a good sign. Everybody ripped and ready to go.
I mean, they have a very lengthy injury report with limited players.
Which is what we had last week, right?
Interesting note, the Ravens listed one guy, Ed Reed.
Well,
the only guy on their injury report.
Because of the ankle.
But... Freddie and I were talking about this earlier. I wonder if that's a little bit of gamesmanship by Baltimore.
Yeah, it might be.
To be like, look, everybody's banged up this time of year, and we're not going to put every little hangnail and chipped tooth out there.
Like the Patriots do.
The only real significant thing is Ed Reed, and he's got an ankle.
Okay.
So I wonder. There might be
something
to that.
Well, I've always known the Patriots list everybody and their dog, you know, because they thumb their nose at the NFL
right.
every time they do that because they think it's unnecessary, too.
Yeah.
That's why they do it.
Right. They do it for different reasons.
Absolutely.
But.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. So we'll
see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
You're back this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'll be
good.
In total. I'm ready to go to war with the NFL official crew, too.
Yeah. And get loud with that first down call, my friend.
They can't stop me.
No.
What are you going to do? You're going to find me?
They can't stop Brooke. They can only hope
stop me.
They can only hope to contain me. They can only hope to anneal you.
As in Tom Brady taking a kneel at the end. All right. Eric Scalavino, PFW. We've got hour number two inside the playbook coming up. We've got more emails to get to. Keep the cards and letters coming, kids. Webradio@patriots.com. Also hit up on Facebook. Your prediction for this Sunday. No Baltimore's yet. It is 100% unanimous right now. The Patriots will win this game. No representation whatsoever. If you think I'm calling you out, I am. No Baltimore's whatsoever. Show up for your team, why don't you? Fickle fans. What are you doing? I'm fans. Oh, it's the Patriots. We're going to go up to Foxborough. Are you going to kick our ass? Losers.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Facebook and Twitter, too, at JRook0722. Come on, baby. Let's see what you got. Prediction time for the AFC, and if you like, NFC championship games. Here in hour number two of the playbook for a Thursday. And with that, we welcome in our good friend, the one and only pro football guru, Russell S. Baxter. Mr. Baxter, how are you today?
A flash in the past.
Yes, I know. We had to bring that back at least once or twice, right?
Absolutely. How are we doing, John?
We're great. This is the time of year we wait for, right? This is when it matters most. We have the final four of pro football, allegedly the four best teams, 28 teams no longer playing. These are the four best remaining. And, you know, I can't say that none of these four don't belong where they are, because I think they do.
Well, they've done it the old fashioned way. They've earned it. Every single one of them. They've had different strokes for different folks, but isn't it nice that defense has once again reared its head, as it usually does when it comes to winning championships?
It's
this year where we've seen the prolific passing.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice, but I think almost, Russell, maybe you and I can argue about this, but I think it's a little bit of an aberration. I think it's just shown us that there's still a little old school streak in pro football, but I largely believe, though, that this is going to be the exception rather than the rule for the foreseeable future in the NFL.
Well, we shall see. I just know that the teams that have gotten there, or that are where they are right now, all played pretty good defense for the most part last week. And if they didn't play good defense, they were extremely physical. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Niners, for the first time all year, gave up at least 30 points in a game, okay? And they were the only team in the league during the regular season not to do that. They had played very steady defense the entire year. The 229 points that they gave up this year, John, mm-hmm. was the fewest by their franchise. Are you ready?
Okay.
1984, Super Bowl 19 season. That's a long time between performances like that. But what did they do last week? They set the tone of the game with the Pierre Thomas hit, who unfortunately was knocked out of the game. forced five turnovers, and not just defensively. You know, two of those turnovers came on kick returns by the Saints. So offense, defense, special teams, the Niners were very physical the entire day. You know, the Giants pass rush obviously had a big impact in their win in Green Bay. They forced four turnovers. You know, to me, Houston looked kind of like the better team at Baltimore, but they turned over the ball four times, opportunistic football by the Ravens. And you know, the Patriots just simply overwhelmed Denver, and that I'm still trying to figure out if it was improved Patriots defense or just an ineptitude of the Denver offense, which we have seen far too many times down the stretch.
I tend to believe it was the latter rather than the former.
Well, I think maybe probably a little bit of both. But in any case, you got, listen, taking care of the football is monumental in these games. We have had eight winning teams in the playoffs so far, and they've coughed up the ball seven times.
Right.
We've had eight losing teams, and they've coughed it up 20.
That's good for me right there. We said that, Eric and I were talking about that in the opening hour. I said, look, these games are magnified to the point now where it really boils down to one very simple thing. Mistakes, whether you make them or you force the other team to make them. Mistakes are going to be made. You don't want to be the one team that makes them.
No, there's no question about it. And, you know, of all the games last week, I think the one to me that stood out the most was Baltimore. I sincerely believe that Baltimore got outplayed in the trenches last week, which for some people had to be very, very surprising. You know, Joe Flacco got sacked five times. T.J. Yates, even though he threw the three picks, he was not sacked last week, I believe. And the way the Houston Texans were able to run the ball on Baltimore's defense, that had to be a little surprising as well. For the first time in their, I mean, they don't have a long history, the Ravens, but they had never given up a 100-yard rusher in the postseason. I believe Arian Foss had 132 yards last week, and, you know, he looked like the best player on the field in Baltimore next week. Mm-hmm. It would be very, very interesting if the Patriots' mode of attack this week is not the pass, but the run.
Well, I think that the Ravens will probably be ready for number 81 to run the ball since he did it with some success against the against the Broncos last week. But at the same time, we said that earlier this week. I mean, if you really want to cross him up a little bit, let's see if we can't, you know, because I have to think that the Ravens have to figure out a way to double somebody coming off the line of scrimmage. So if you do that, you're probably going to back it up toward the backside of your defense, which leaves the middle a little bit susceptible, and you might want to try to run right at it.
Well, what's going to be interesting is who they choose to cover Rob Gronkowski and or Aaron Hernandez with. Would they dare try to cover one of those guys with a corner rather than a linebacker or a safety? It's going to be really quite the chess match here. You know, if you remember last year, when these teams played, and this, by the way, would be the fourth time in 3 years these teams are playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the familiarity is there.
Familiarity, but, sure.
But go back to week six, I believe, of last year, when the Patriots rallied to beat the Ravens in overtime in Foxborough. That was the first game of the new-look Patriots minus Randy Moss. They had made the trade during the bye week. They acquired Deion Branch and got him back, and Deion Branch had a big game against the Ravens, especially late in the game and I believe in overtime as well. You know, Aaron Hernandez, I think, had four catches. Rob Gronkowski only had one catch. And obviously they started to take on a more life of their own as the season wore on. But that was the new-look Patriots the last time they played the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, obviously the New England's offense has evolved into something that has been simply unbelievable. Back on that scoring streak of theirs where, you know, 30 points a game is an afterthought.
Right.
But, of course, we also know that in this series, which the Patriots have dominated, obviously, six out of seven meetings, if you're going to beat a team one time in seven tries, it'd be good to beat them in the playoffs in their own building, and that's the only Ravens win in the history of this series. So that's 33-14. The Ray Rice 83-yard run up the middle on the first play from scrimmage. That's the only time the Ravens have beaten the New England Patriots.
Right. That's it. That's exactly it.
No, so timing is everything, okay? I mean, listen, if you're going to be 1-30 against somebody, let the one be in the Super Bowl.
No fooling, huh? Absolutely, no fooling. Well, we kind of started with the Pats, so let's look at it here. 45-10, over the Broncos. As you suggested, it might have been a little bit more Denver than it was New England. But I think, you know, from what we've looked at it is the Patriots did what they had to do to take advantage of what the Broncos were giving them. That being said, I don't think anybody really expects this week to be anything close to that. What I guess then we're trying to figure out is really, you know, the Ravens played a game last week against Houston that, quite frankly, Houston outplayed them with the exception of the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And if they don't turn the ball over, Houston, even without, you know, a guy like Schaub at quarterback and a guy like Williams on the defensive side, they could win that game in Baltimore. So, really, how good are the Ravens going to be knowing they have to go on the road and play a Patriots team? And the Ravens have been, well, 4-4, mediocre on the road this year.
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be the interesting game. I think you know what you're getting with New England. I think the intrigue of this game, John, is figuring out which version of the Ravens is going
to
show up.
Right. Haven't been able to. Yeah, we've been trying to figure that out ourselves, and we're trying to get ready for a couple of different scenarios, I think.
Well, as the adage says, quote the Raven, we don't know.
That's never more.
Okay. And the bottom line is this: do we get the team that drove down almost the length of the field to beat Pittsburgh and Heinz Field,
mm-hmm.
which is really why they won the division?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the team that lays an egg at Jacksonville? Okay? Is it the team that dominates the Texans when Matt Schaub was playing during the regular season? Or is it the team that goes at Seattle and struggles and loses to the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very interesting season for the Ravens, and it's been obviously a very interesting week. There's been a lot of discussion, obviously. Joe Flacco's had things to say. You know, that was actually before the playoff game last week. Now Ed Reed has things to say. For the Ravens' sake, I would hope their mind are on the opponent. Again, I don't think this is a team that worries about style points too much, and with good reason, because, you know, who cares? Okay, you win the game ugly, you win the game ugly. You can talk about it for 2 weeks at the Super Bowl, winning ugly. But that's the mystery. What exactly are we going to see from the Ravens? What is their game plan? Are they going to have another identity crisis on offense? Because their bread and butter is getting those rushing attempts and controlling the football. But last week, as you alluded to and we talk about here, I think Baltimore got out-Baltimored by the Houston Texans last week. And if it weren't for these turnovers, we'd be discussing a whole different game this weekend.
No question about that. So, in your estimation then, let's kind of look at it from this vantage point. What one or two things have to happen for the Ravens to go on the road to win the game? And then two things then for the Patriots, what they need to do in order to assure themselves a shot at a fifth Super Bowl in 11 years?
Well, I think they need to do what happened with Houston last week. I don't think they'll mind if the Patriots win the battles, but march up and down the field, make them settle for field goals, turn them over a couple of times. That's what they're going to need to do, New England. You know, you got Ed Reed, who is one interception away from tying the NFL postseason record for most interceptions in a career. He's got 8 interceptions in 10 playoff games. The record is 9. It's held by several guys: Charlie Waters, Bill Simpson, and Ronnie Lott. Mm-hmm. That Ronnie Lott guy was pretty good, I heard.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
That's what you're going to need to do. You're going to have to, in some ways, put the pressure on New England to keep pace with the Ravens. And I know that sounds like an odd way to say it, because the prolific scoring team, obviously, is New England. But because of New England's defensive issues all year, to me, there's almost seems like, John, there's been a pressure on Tom Brady in that offense all season to continuously keep their foot on the pedal because of their defensive problems. Last week, for the first time in 4 games, what a relief. We're not down 16-7 at Denver. We're not down 17-0 at home to Miami. We're not down 21-0 at home to Buffalo. We're actually winning the game before the Star-Spangled Banner is even finished. Okay, so that's what they want to do. They want to just keep the pressure on you, keep the heat, and that's why you saw Tom Brady in there, because I know everybody was like, well, why is Tom Brady still in the game? The game's out of control. Well, guess what? I looked it up. He's a football player, and he likes to play football. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let them play. I think that was at Bad News Bears 2, wasn't it? Let them play?
Yes. Yeah. Let them. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, let them play. But bottom line is this. They have to force – when you force the other team to do something that they don't want to do and control the tempo of the game, That's really what the key to playing football is making that you dictating, okay? And the Ravens are hoping that they make the Patriots, believe it or not, throw the ball actually more than they want to. And the difference in this league, as you know, of throwing when you want to and throwing when you have to is monumental. When you throw when you have to, that means there's no regard for the run. And that's when your pass rusher is pinned back. And when you've got guys like Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata, who can dominate a game at times. And if you don't keep those guys under control, they not only get to your quarterback, but your quarterback will cough up the ball. And that's what you're looking here for. You're looking to keep Tom Brady on the sidelines. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 18 straight playoff games, too shy of the NFL record. Safe to say, if they can stop that streak, the Baltimore Ravens will win this game.
Interesting. And then flip side, is this the Patriots game largely to lose? I mean, for them to lose, as we've been talking about this week, Russell, they kind of have to turn the ball over and give the Ravens easy opportunities, don't they?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. The last time that the New England Patriots lost a game, they turned over the ball four times at home to the Giants.
Right.
They've won nine games since then and turned over the ball five times total. You know, I, without my calculator and slide rule, can do the math on that one. Okay?
Yeah.
And again, they're back to, you know, handling people. They've in their nine-game winning streak, they have scored exactly twice as many points as they have given up. And again, you know, when you have the capabilities of going down 21 and winning by 28 like they did with the Bills, okay? I mean, these last two games, we've seen a variety of looks from the Patriots. But the one thing we keep on seeing is the excellence of Tom Brady. We see just a fantastic year from Rob Gronkowski, three more touchdown receptions last week, the wrinkle of Hernandez in the backfield. And believe me, if the Denver Broncos never see Aaron Hernandez again, they'll be the happiest team in the National Football League.
Right.
He killed them as a receiver back in Denver in Week 15, and he killed them as a running back last week in the divisional playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So New England clicking on all cylinders. What do you do when a team is in that kind of a groove? You got to find a way to disrupt them. Turnovers, penalties, even sacking Brady and fumble and the ball comes loose and the Patriots recover it. It's a wasted play. It's a broken play. It's a negative play. The Ravens need to create as many negative plays as possible here. And given their defense, which obviously second most passing yards they gave up in the history of the NFL in one season, there's going to be some opportunities for Joe Flacco and Anquan Boldin and those tight ends to do their own damage. And they're going to have to take advantage of those opportunities. You can't throw balls behind people. Or you can't throw balls into the ground. You got to be sharp. You know as well as I would, John, there are going to be people open for the Baltimore Ravens. That's how it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't take advantage of those openings, you know, long day for the Baltimore Ravens as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Mr. Numbers, I know this one you probably know already, but here's the number from a Patriot perspective that concerns me about Baltimore. The fact that a career quarterback rating of 71.4 for Brady against Baltimore does say something, doesn't it?
Well, I think in the last two games, John, he's thrown five interceptions.
Right.
And been sacked six times.
Right.
Now, one of those games they won. The last one. But that's
right.
The playoff game and the game in 2010.
Right.
And, so obviously, yeah, I mean, making Tom Brady make mistakes. How did the Patriots lose? When he throws four interceptions in one afternoon against
Baltimore. Yeah, when you rattle him, when you get him with pressure.
Right.
We've mentioned that too. I mean, Baltimore's going to have to get pressure on Brady with four guys.
You either do two or two. How have the now? Obviously, we know the Patriots have lost three games this year, and they've lost those three games two different ways. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the Giants game and the Bills game, they turned over the ball four times in each of those games.
Correct.
In the Pittsburgh game, they lost the game because Tom Brady was relegated to the sideline
mm-hmm.
for the majority of the game because of the Steelers' passing attack, which Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 50 times, and Pittsburgh controlled
the ball. Yes.
Via the pass rather than the run. Now, I don't think Baltimore has that kind of passing attack, but they do have potentially that kind of running attack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't underestimate what Ray Rice can do. I know there's not a Patriot fan listening out there who doesn't know what Ray Rice can do. Okay, it doesn't take long.
They know that from the first play of 09.
Yards from scrimmage, he can beat you in a variety of ways.
Right.
And when they run the ball at least 25 times this year, they are 13-0. And when they run the ball less than 20 times, they're 0-4. I know it sounds rudimentarily simple. Last week, they didn't have 100 yards rushing against the Texans, but they ran the ball 31 times. They got stymied a lot of times, but it made for less and less opportunities for Houston to be on the field. And, of course, Houston shot itself in the foot so many times with those four turnovers.
Yeah, I would argue if Houston doesn't turn the ball over four times, then Baltimore probably doesn't run the ball 31 times, right?
No, there's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's depending on your perspective. I mean, you and I both agree that Houston outplayed the Baltimore Ravens.
They did.
It's very interesting because, the Ravens, it was really a game. I mean, I don't know how you interpret this type of stuff and so on, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. It was really the first time during this John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco regime that they were expected to win a playoff game for the most part because they were finally playing a playoff game at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing a playoff game against a rookie quarterback and a Houston team that, although they had won the week before, lost their last three regular season games. Remember, Joe Flacco played 8 playoff games. That was his first and only one at home. And, he's done such a good job winning on the road. But, of course, you can compile good road-winning playoff numbers when all you do is play road-winning games.
Mm-hmm.
So when you finally are – sometimes when you're expected to do something, it's harder when you're not expected. And that's why I thought that game was very difficult for the Ravens against a very excited – Houston team, which had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, this week, I think in their own way, the Baltimore Ravens are expected to win this game, and I think maybe that can play in their favor.
Right. Okay. That kind of squares up with what we're thinking about around these parts. All right. So
good. That email that you sent out accidentally with all your thoughts, I got
all
it.
My thoughts, you got it in plenty of time? All
right. There you go.
I think we're on the same page here. So, I know you're not necessarily in the business of predicting, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what you think this game will turn out to do.
Listen, I've been wrong so many times in the playoffs. There's been 8 playoff games, and I've gotten 2 of them right.
Okay. Right.
So be very, very excited out there because I somehow think the Baltimore Ravens are going to find a way to win this game.
Wow.
I think New England is the better team. I think New England is playing better. But I think the fact that Baltimore goes in here, again, they're 1-6 against New England. But the fact that they did it in the playoffs 2 years ago, I think, to them, I think they're playing, I hate using the term house money, but I think in some ways that's what I think they're doing here and so on. And I don't know who's going to be the hero, but at the very least, like Nada and Suggs and Lewis and Reed are going to have to make their impact here. This isn't, going to be a game where Joe Flacco suddenly turns into Drew Brees and throws for 350 yards. Joe Flacco has played 8 playoff games that we have mentioned so many times already in the last 15 or 20 minutes. He has thrown for less than 200 yards in 7 of the 8 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Not less than 300, less than 200.
Mm-hmm.
Now would be a good time to get either 250 or 300. And that's certainly possible against New England secondary, but I think it's going to be balance. I think it's going to be defense. And I think the Baltimore Ravens, very surprisingly, are going to wind up being the AFC representative in Super Bowl 46.
And again, we'll remind our listeners, you're 2-8.
And I don't have
postseason.
To come on next week.
That's exactly right.
Right.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a look at the NFC game then with the Giants and the 49ers. From a New England perspective, I know there are some fans that would love the chance to, see the Giants for a chance at redemption from the 08 Super Bowl, and there are others who would say, no, they don't want to play them because, frankly, the Giants, the way that they're playing right now, scares them. San Francisco may be the most balanced team, arguably, left in the four-team tournament, such as it is. But did they not kind of use all their chits last week against New Orleans?
Well, I don't know. You use the word balance, John, and I think you're dead on with that. But I think they're balanced in a way that people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
I think from top to bottom, they're the most complete football team left here because of what they can do not only on offense and defense but special teams as well. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have now I know he's a little banged up, and I'll be interested to see what his status is for Sunday. But Ted Ginn at any one time, like he did in the very opening game, returned a punt and a kickoff in a minute span that helped beat the Seattle Seahawks. But think about what San Francisco's, and we haven't even talked about David Akers, who kicked 44 field goals this year.
Right.
San Francisco's special teams last week, okay? Andy Lee, you know, one of the best punters in the league, had eight punts. He put four of them inside the 20, okay? We talked about the Saints having five turnovers. Two of those came on kick or punt return by Courtney Roby and Darren Sproles, okay? So this team hits on offense, hits on defense, and hits on special teams, okay? And so much has been made about what Alex Smith can't do and hasn't done since being the first pick in 05 that people forgot what he could do and obviously forgot what Vernon Davis could do as well. I mean, that was some electrifying moments from that team. But, you know, this is, you know, this term of game manager, which gets such a negative connotation to it. Guess what? I'm here to announce this. Tom Brady is a game manager.
Yeah.
So is Drew Brees. So is Aaron Rodgers. And so are all the other quarterbacks in the league. That's part of the job description. When you apply to be a quarterback and you send your resume in, it says wanted, game manager. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Game manager doesn't mean conservative. To me, it's two totally different things. Now, maybe other people have different meanings for it, but Tom Brady, to me, manages the game. He just has different responsibilities as a manager than Alex Smith does, as does Drew Brees, as does Michael Vick, as does Ben Roethlisberger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Managing means playing within yourself. And who says it better than anybody than Bill Belichick? Do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Alex Smith's job happens to be different than Eli Manning's or Joe Flacco's and so on. So this idea that a game manager can't do this and can't do that, I don't buy into it, okay? And let's not forget what, you know, when Alex Smith was at the University of Utah, you know, I don't think they were running the wishbone there, okay? There was a reason he was the first overall pick in 2005. And, you know, you can say what you want about him. Different coaches, different coordinators. I mean, that organization, he didn't come to the San Francisco 49ers with Bill Walsh, okay? And that's not to denigrate anybody, but it's a different organization when he arrived. They were in the midst of a streak where they didn't make a playoff appearance in 9 years. It's their first time since 2002 that they're back in the playoffs. So it's not like he came in and it was George Seifert and it was the old regime. It was a completely made over. And I know there's a lot of pride and tradition out there in San Francisco, but the times have changed out there. I mean, there was a reason they weren't in the playoffs for 9 years. A makeover from top to bottom, various head coaches, various coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, the 49ers are very intriguing. And I know that the New York Giants are extremely hot, four games in a row. Their defense is playing much better. Rushing the passer great. Really gave Aaron Rodgers a hard time. 48 sacks during the regular season. The one thing I will point out is this. The Giants' defense has played well for about 4 or 5 weeks. To me, the San Francisco 49ers, for the most part, have played great defense all season. And I'm going to be very interested to see how this translates. And let's not forget, this San Francisco team has already beaten the New York Giants once this year. So, you know, let's give credit where credit's due. It's been a great year from top to bottom for San Francisco.
It has been. Has been. And I kind of like, you know, even though I think that the Giants may have a little bit of that momentum on their side here, and I personally am rooting for them because I'd like to see the Patriots-Giants in the Super Bowl, I think San Francisco wins this week. What do you think?
You know, early in the week I was leaning toward the Giants, and the more I keep on thinking about it, I'm kind of inclined to agree with you. I mean, I think there's something big time going on here with the 49ers, and it is a return to a different kind of football that we have seen all year. And, you know, that's not to knock the wide open because it's been very highly entertaining, the 5,000-yard passers and the 40-plus touchdown passes. But there's also been a lack of defense around the league. How many comebacks have we seen this year? Teams down 20 and 18 and 17 and so on. No lead has been safe. And there's just something about what Jim Harbaugh has brought to the San Francisco team. I've alluded to this almost like a quiet cockiness to him, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a confidence that we haven't seen from this team in a long time because we haven't seen them in the playoffs in a long time. And, again, I think I was looking at the Giants early this week because of their momentum, But I think that the Niners beat the Giants earlier this year for a reason. I think they're better than the Giants from top to bottom. And maybe they don't do it the same way they did it last week against New Orleans. But I think the San Francisco 49ers may find a way to win this game. So I don't want to I'm doing both sides of the fence here because I picked the Giants earlier and now I'm picking the Niners and so on. But I warned everybody, if you ask me on Monday, I might have a different story on Thursday.
You did. But you like the Harbaugh Bowl is what you like.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. In a year of a lockout when there was no unity, why not have two brothers in the Super Bowl?
That kind of does bring it full circle.
Family affair? Hey, as you know, when we get to this time of year, none of these matchups ever turn are ever a bad thing.
I mean, no.
San Francisco, New England.
Yeah.
Tom Brady against, you know, he idolized Joe Montana.
Right.
He's from that area, I believe, correct?
Yeah, he is.
The Giants have played both the Ravens and the Patriots already in the Super Bowl, so you would have a rematch of
rematches.
Mm-hmm. One sort and a super rematch because of the magnification of that game from 4 years ago.
Right.
And then if you have San Francisco and Baltimore, you have the Harbaugh brothers, who, of course, we saw on Thanksgiving. You know, and listen, if it's the Harbaugh brothers, maybe we should talk to the league. Maybe we should just have them meet once a year just for the heck of it.
It'd be a good story, right? It'd be a good story.
Sure.
It'd be good press, good publicity. Absolutely.
Sure.
Totally.
Sure. You know what's ironic? If it is the Harbaugh brothers,
okay.
The ironic part is I don't think a lot of people at the beginning of this year, granted everybody was healthy, so you know where I'm going here,
mm-hmm.
that we would have been maybe overly surprised to see a brother versus brother showdown in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. And that may have been Eli and Peyton Manning.
Right.
Apparently, it's possible that a different set of brothers are going to show up in Indianapolis.
Sounds like it could be. It could be. Although I will just agree to disagree with you on the AFC Championship. Before I let you go, though, what are your thoughts on the rumor mill that Rob Lowe started about Peyton Manning yesterday? His tweets.
Well, I'll quote him from one of his movies.
Okay.
It's not real. It's St. Elmo's fire.
Okay.
And now, then I think the lighter and the aerosol can. And
well, he had to have gotten that bit of information from his buddy Jim Irsay,
well,
right?
Listen, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm sure there's something we don't know. But, you know, I guess the fact that it would be an actor breaking this story, of course, makes everybody giggle a little, but mm-hmm. stranger things have happened, okay? You have learned, we have learned in this world of technology to never say never, okay? Because I know this, if by chance in a month or 2 weeks or whatever it turns out to be true, we're all going to circle back to Rob Lowe.
That's right.
Hey, he was right all along.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Right. That's right.
And then we're going to start asking Rob Lowe a whole bunch of other questions about a whole bunch of other things.
Rob Lowe. Goodness gracious.
Well, maybe start getting lottery numbers from Rob Lowe.
Might have to. You might have to.
I would.
Yeah, exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Well, I do hope, for all practical purposes, that we have at least one more, if not two more, chances to visit. So if the Patriots win, then that will occur. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm in no matter what.
I know.
I might just call you for the heck of it.
I hope you do.
You got it.
Because it makes it a long spring and summer when we don't get a chance to visit on the radio like this.
You'll hear from me, John. Don't worry.
I know, man. I know. And enjoy the games this weekend. And as always, we thank you for your wonderful insight and input. And we'll you know, make sure that everybody understands. Make sure you follow Russell on Twitter at Bax Football Guru, B-A-X Football Guru. And then, of course, ProFootballGuru.com, your website. Make sure you check out all your good stuff that you have there.
You got it. Well, thanks, John. Another opportunity to spend a year with you and talking about football. It's what I love. It's the passion is real. And, you know, the sad part for me is only three more football games. Well, four if you count the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
but before you know it, we'll be talking free agency.
Yes, we will.
Draft, and maybe we'll get a chance to do that this spring.
I do hope so that will be the case. We're working on that as we speak, so you never know, right?
Perfect.
Sounds like a plan, and I'll plan on talking to you next week.
You got it. You got it, John. Have a great week.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Russell.
The games yourself.
You betcha. Russell Baxter, our own pro football guru. One of the best that there ever was in this biz in terms of his analysis, his breakdown, his absolute study of the game of pro football. It's exquisite. Nobody that I've met, and I've met a lot of people in my over 30 years of covering pro football myself, I don't know that anybody does any better than he does, and I'm not just blowing smoke up his skirt. He knows that. He takes the time and the effort and the energy, and when he was with ESPN all those years that he was the chief researcher behind the ESPN national telecast, he was the only person in the entire 4,000, 5,000 now person fleet. That is ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, whose full-time job was 365 days a year, NFL. And even though he's kind of gone out on his own now, he's still 365 days a year, NFL. So follow his blog on profootballguru.com, and at BaxFootballGuru is his Twitter handle. If you're not already following him, you probably should be. All right, let's get back to the emails here. We got a lot of folks that want to get in their predictions, Facebook page as well, webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, got a couple of minutes there available for you at 508-298-0398 if you choose to do so. And then hit me up on the Facebook page, and we can get your predictions in. All right, here we go. Gene in Daytona. Eric is right about adversity. It can make a team stronger. Adversity can come on the field, but this year for our defense, it has come from the media. No one wants to be laughed at and ridiculed, but our guys have been, and let's see who gets the last laugh. I believe Bill joking before the Denver game affected the team, and I thought the team came out loose and with more energy and aggressiveness. He says the wet field is going to hurt Ray Rice because he's been known to fumble a wet ball, where BJGE never fumbles. So Gina Daytona says Patriots 31, Ravens 21. Peter the Patriot from Toronto. How's it going, eh? Love your show. Listen to it every day. Thank you, Peter. I believe the Patriots will have no problem this week in beating Baltimore. Not like the boys on the PFW show. They think it's going to be a close game. They're nuts. I've noticed Tom Brady is playing mad that this is the most important Super Bowl for Tom to win because it will shut up idiots like Chris Carter and Cordell Stewart. He says Patriots 52, Baltimore 12. What do you say to that, John? I say, what are you smoking up there in Toronto, Peter? But I like your enthusiasm anyway. Chad. All right. Yeah, I'm trying to. An imitation. Tea, sizzle, wiggle, diddle, middle, piddle, jiggle, fiddle, niggle, whatever. Okay. I guess he's trying to imitate Terrell Suggs. Well, if the climate is a snowfall, then hell yeah, we're even more better positioned to get the W. But what I treat here is the media's unfair attitude over our defense. The great thing about the media is that they've decided all of a sudden that they have the right to decide whether or not that this is valuable or not. So basically, all the accomplishments the Patriots D has delivered never happened. I don't agree with you, John. The 85 Bears are far more superior than the 2000 Ravens. We were talking about defenses earlier. I still say if the Rams had qualified for the Super Bowl, the Ravens defense could have had a much more tougher time. Mark this down. Remember it. I've been outstanding this year predicting, compared to the last three, Patriots win 38-12 is what Chad says. Frederick in Montreal. I think I have a little group of Canadians here, right? That's cool. I like it. He says, Fred said,
Canada.
I like it. Wow, we need to break him out. Is he going to be? Oh, no, we don't need to break. All right. I see the Patriots winning a tight, low-scoring affair, 23-16. I think the elements will limit what the offenses can do, and I agree turnovers will be the key. Todd in Utah, 24-14 for the Pats. Flaccid Flacco surprisingly doesn't make any mistakes. Chad says, could you please say this Brett Favre quote with your Texan accent? Mate, that's some tight pants you got on, Bubba. All right, well, let's see if we can try that.
Mate, that was some tight pants you got on.
All right, let's see. Mate, that's some tight pants you got on there, Bubba.
Mate, that was some tight pants you got on.
Just for you, Chad.
Balls feel good. That ball there had silicone on it.
I hadn't heard that one. That's good. All right. Mally in Nebraska. I'd much rather face the 49ers in the SB, mostly because I hate the Giants and a Sheely Manning. I also think it's the best matchup for the Pats. The offense suspect the D can't hang with the Patriots offense. It would also make me vomit to lose to the Giants again. I'm fairly confident the Pats will win the Super Bowl if they get there, but I wouldn't be as sickened if the Niners beat us. And he says, also, can you repeat your Twitter handle for me? It's at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At JRook, 0722. Thank you, Mally in Nebraska. Cassandra says, John, just want to let you know that it appears you have a small fan base here in Montreal. Ah, love it. My dad and I listen to your podcast. Unfortunately, we can't listen to you live. But anyways, we're both huge Patriots fans. We're really excited about this weekend's game against the Ravens. I think we'll beat them 31-14. My dad thinks the Patriots will win, but it's closer, 27-20. Fair enough. Fair enough. Chris in Seattle. I don't think I have an elaborate breakdown. I think you did admirably go there. So I'll just say Pats 27, Ravens 17. I just think the strengths of our offense are greater than those of the Ravens' defense. I think our defense is up to the task against their offense. Besides, to pick against the Pats would be an act of perfidy. Our word of the day. Excellent job by you, Chris, to work that into a post and an email. See, somebody's actually got it now. Somebody gets it. And I think, how long have we been doing Word of the Day for Eric? We've been doing it since, what, about mid-season maybe?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right. I think that's the first time that we've actually, well, I take that back because I know that our friend Gene in Daytona, he's tried to do it on a couple of occasions because I remember a couple of specific emails, but it just hasn't quite worked. But I actually think that Chris has hit it dead on there. But I do want to give you some credit, Gene in Daytona, because you are a regular emailer and give you some credit there. So, but good job out of you, Chris, in Seattle, for using today's word of the day, one of our two, in an email. Awesome. All right. Well, let's see what else we got here. There's one for Pete. I'm going to say this one for Pete. This one comes for PJ, who says, Rook, I have heard a lot about the Patriots not beating a team with a winning record, which I believe is a valid point. I also hear a lot about how good the Baltimore defense is. I saw a stat today that I haven't heard yet. You saw a stat that you haven't heard yet. Why do I find that just bizarre?
You know what? Because we all say stuff like that.
So I know. How can we laugh? All right, you're right. We understand. All right.
We know what you
I was getting ready to pick on him, but I'm not going
to. No.
The Ravens played only one team with a top 10 offense all year. That team was San Diego, and they beat Baltimore 34-7. I did hear that one yesterday.
It was 34-14, by the way.
Okay.
And I brought that up last week. I went through all Baltimore's games.
Leave it to Pete.
I broke it all down already, and I got two emails of people saying the same thing, which is great. They listed all the games. If you look at Baltimore's schedule and who they played, the reason why they have a lot of good defensive numbers is because of the quarterbacks and offenses they went up against. Not taking any opening day against Pittsburgh, okay, and they can't last-second touchdown against the Steelers. Go look at the rest of their schedule. Not exactly the cream of the crop they played this year on the offenses that they faced.
He says, just as much as the Pats are stepping up in class, the vaunted Baltimore Ravens will be stepping up in class when they face the number two rated offense in the NFL. That's PJ in Philly who brought us that one. All right, now here's Gene in Daytona who sends this, and he's trying to use our word of the day. He says, I would like to face the perfidy of the Giants, but he misspelled it.
Perfidy.
He says pervity, and it's perfidy.
So you must mean perverted?
No.
Pervious?
No, it is what it is. Thank you, Bill. But a good try.
I don't have words.
John.
I have little phrases.
Says, I'm not going to say I'm not nervous about the game. I am. There's the way the game should go. There's the way it just might. I feel the Pats' offense is strong enough to outscore the Ravens' offense. All things being equal, our D does enough to keep them in check. Ray Rice is always a concern, but I think we know this and we'll plan for it. My prediction, Pats will win once Brady gets rolling, 38-24. On a side note, John, who in your opinion is the meanest, nastiest player on the Pats' offense? And can we have him run straight at Bernard Pollard? Is that a little payback for 08?
I mean, I'm not one, and I was when I was on EDI at the time, and I was never one to think that was a cheap hit. Yeah. I mean, it was a missed block, but it was Morris.
Yeah, I never blamed Bernard Pollard for the Brady injury.
I never blamed for that. It was a freaky thing.
It was.
And I know they put the rule in, what they call the Brady rule, but I was on record back then. I didn't think it was a cheap hit, so I didn't blame him. I mean, I think if it was a Patriot player, would have done the exact same thing. It was just an unfortunate accident.
Meanest, yep. Nastiest player then on the Patriots offense, in your opinion? I have the obvious.
I'm serious about this when I say this.
Okay, go.
Tom Brady.
That's
I am
good.
Dead serious.
That's good.
About that.
No, you know what? I don't think that's a joke. I think that's not bad. When he gets focused,
Tom Brady has a Larry Bird nastiness about him that a lot of people don't understand.
Well, that's
and
what makes
Larry's
superstars
one of the biggest
superstars.
Trash talkers of all time.
Right.
But he could back it up. Intimidate during warm-ups and everything else.
He could back it up.
And I'm telling you, I'd say Tom Brady.
Well, I was going to say
a lot of tough guys.
I was going to say Logan Mankins.
Yeah, he's one too. I mean, they're all in their own way.
Right.
But if you know. Brady has got that hidden toughness that I don't think people – if he was mic'd up for the whole game, I think it would be – people would pay $500 for the 3 hours to listen to him.
Right.
It's hysterical.
Chris from his iPhone says, can you go over the impact of honorary captains and what they do? Are they there on game day? Well, the Patriots are bringing in 4 honorary captains this year, you know, as part of their celebration of their first AFC championship game. at home, which was in 96. So this is what, the 15-year, 2011, 90, mm-hmm. yeah, 15-year anniversary of the first time they hosted an AFC Championship game. And they're bringing in Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi.
Nice.
Who are the other? Who was the third one they just announced? Kevin, do you know?
Willie McGinnis, maybe?
No, Willie McGinnis is one of the other possibilities. Who's the other one?
Was it Law?
Yes, Ty Law. Thank you.
Yeah, that makes
Ty
sense.
Law. We think the other one might be Willie, but they haven't announced it. I think it
could be Drew, too.
Could be Drew, yeah. Yes. But they're going to announce it tomorrow. Anyway, what do? They go out for the coin toss, and they stand there, and they look nice, and they shake hands mm-hmm. with both sides, and that's about it. They don't do anything else. It's largely ceremonial.
Talking about oh, yeah, exactly. But remember that game? How cold was that day against Jacksonville?
Yes.
But
I also remember that was a hell of a day.
Oh, Otis, my man.
Yeah, Otis, my man. That's exactly right.
That game with butterflies at the end of that one, but that was a great game.
Omar in Atlanta. Guys, I'm going to say 34-18 because I think the Ravens defense just won't be able to keep up with the pace of the Pats offense. Oh, and if you visit New Zealand, don't forget to visit Hobbiton, Rivendell, and Mordor. Very nice during this time of year. I have no idea where those places are. I have never heard those cities before, but
you're kidding me, right?
Well, I've heard of Auckland, but I've never heard of any
of those.
That's
from the Lord of the Rings, my friend.
Oh.
And you're not a Lord of the Rings fan, I see.
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Phenomenal movies. But even if
it does look like Lord of the Rings stuff,
though.
But you know what,
those movies, even if you don't like the movies, I suggest buying them and watch how they were made. Amazing, the architecture, the drafting, everything. I know we're getting off topic here, but it's stunning what Peter Jackson did, hiring the staff he did like two years before they even filmed anything, the design work and the preparation that went in. And I still think in New Zealand, I still think part of the landscape of all those, I think it's still there, part of it.
Really?
And, of course, they're just filming The Hobbit, just got done.
Well,
so they're going back and they're going to do the Hobbit, the original Hobbit. Just got done filming, so that'll come out next year.
We were talking earlier about getting down to Australia at some point. But if we get to Australia, I would love to get to New Zealand, too.
Where's Rivendell? That's the best.
Rivendell?
If you don't know the Mook,
you got to watch it. You got to see it to know.
I'm sorry.
He's laughing to himself in here because I got no friggin' clue.
Rook's like, where the hell is Mordor, damn it? Put a pin in the map.
Mordor's the equivalent of hell, basically.
Is that right?
Not hell, but I mean, it's a very, very bad, bad place.
Bad place, okay.
It's like going through parts of Boston at night. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I totally understand that. Our boy Gene in Daytona has come through. He says, John, I got you someone in Baltimore to predict the game. He says, I called my daughter Elizabeth, Pats 41, Ravens 10. Wasn't nice. Quite what I was looking for, but we haven't gotten a single. The only person that said Baltimore will win the game is Russell.
And he fell into the trap, John, which I'm surprised that he did. 2009 is irrelevant. Irrelevant. If you're going to bring up a game from the past, why do you not bring up last year's game that the Patriots won? Even that game, John, is irrelevant. But at least in that game, you had Welker, you had Gronkowski, and you had Hernandez. And it was Deion Branch's first game back with the Patriots that had the biggest impact in that game. 93-yard touchdown. 93 yards and a touchdown. Not to mention the fact that the Patriots in that game from the fourth quarter, the end of the third quarter, to overtime. Remember, it was 90 seconds to go in that game, in overtime. Almost ended in the tie. The Patriots held the Ravens 6 straight 3-and-outs. Go back and look at the play-by-play of the stats. That game is irrelevant as well when you're talking about this one. But at least that one, you have some semblance of what this Patriots team is about because those three guys played in that game where they didn't play in 2009. And Sal Pelantonio did the same thing today. Did the preview from Baltimore and everything. Everything's 2009. It's like 2010 never existed. What are these people thinking? What does 2009 have to do with this game when three of your best top offensive guys weren't in that game?
Right.
And it's a totally different mentality on this team. Irrelevant.
Brian says, do you think the shorter offseason could be more influencing the lack of D this year? Do you think we could see a dramatic turnaround in yards through the air next year when there's a complete offseason training camp? You'll see, Brian, probably more of an emphasis on defense in the offseason with training camps and OTAs and things like that. I'm not sure it's going to change the game because the changes we've seen in offense, as I've stated from day one when we started talking about it here, have to do with the rules of the game favoring the offense as opposed to the defense. That's more than anything. The only way you're going to see it go back to the old way completely, the rules have to change. The rules will have to change. As far as predictions, he says, another big game for the Pats. Pats will win this one by 7 to 10 points. Billy, Patriots win 16-14 in overtime on a safety after a grueling ground battle. Pats punt to the one, pinning Flacco and coming near the end zone. Flacco sacked in the end zone on a 2nd and 9. That's about as exact as you can get. Howard says, Pats 28-31, Ravens 21-24. Contrary to popular opinion, the Patriots D steps up, gets the job done, forcing 2 turnovers, 1 for a touchdown. Ravens D slows down but does not stop the Pats. They don't have enough defensive weapons to match up with the Pats' offensive weapons. And he picks the NFC game, too. He says Giants 34, Niners 31.
Boy, that's high scoring for that game.
It is. Gabe, here in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Okay, so after the Ravens' Ed Reed's quarterback perfidy media bashing yesterday, good use of perfidy there. It got me to thinking. I would have to say I wonder how much added pressure has Joe Flacco now placed upon himself to have his best game ever. 5-3 record playoffs, combined 19 passes completed in the last 2 of those games. Will this extra focus on his play have a beneficial effect on our corners and DBs? Or will this anneal him to an elite quarterback status like Eli? He says yes and no. And then the score will be a little closer than last week. I think there are too many weapons for the Ravens to cover. Pats 31, Ravens 13. Okay. Tim, can't wait. Just a thought. Seems to me that the defensive sets the Jets player very similar to what the Ravens do. Not surprising, since Rex came from that system. I think the Patriots have been constructed offensively in part to defeat what that defense does by forcing mismatches with the tight ends and going to a hurry-up. No huddle when the personnel is in the Pats' favor. That is key, and you know the Patriots will be watching for that. He says, this year the Pats beat the Jets twice. Brady seemed to finally conquer what the Jets were doing. That's Tim in Plano, Texas. Jeff, thought this was a little funny. Gee, I wonder which team organization is having confidence issues. It says here he's got a screen say Pats to host Ravens in AFC Championship. And then the Ravens front page says Patriots tight ends are a matchup nightmare. Confidence issues indeed.
Baltimore media is, I think most of them are picking the Patriots.
Dude, I can't read this email. This is in Arabic. Look at this. There's one to Web Radio from Arabia somewhere. I don't know. Is that from like
John?
Yeah, I would delete that one.
I think I'm gonna. I don't know what that says, dude. English, please. Okay.
You don't want them to wage jihad on you, Rook.
They are gonna wage jihad on me, I suppose. English in this country, brother. Okay. Thank you very much. Joey in New York. Pats D will step up on Sunday, control the line of scrimmage. Spikes and Mayo won't let Ray Rice rush for over 100 yards. Brady and crew will have their usual record-setting day. He says 38-17. Patriots. All right, what you got coming up, big one?
Well, we got the practice report.
Yeah,
here, huh?
Yeah, we got. Let me go with this really while you're here.
15 guys being listed.
These guys are limited. Everybody I'm about to say is limited. Branch, Cannon, Chung, Fletcher, Hernandez, Adebo, Love, Mankins, Ninkovich, Solder, Spikes, Vollmer, Welker, White. Those are limited. These were full participation. Brady, Arrington, Connolly, Slater. Again, Brady, full participation, and nothing from the Ravens except for yesterday with Ed Reed, but nothing yet from the Ravens today. But
you'll get it before he shows up.
Yeah, Ed Reed, I'm sure, will be out there playing.
Sounds like a plan.
We got coming up today. We got a big show coming up today. It's going to be big anyway, just because of the fans out there, and they've been so awesome. But coming up, John Eisenberg from CSN Baltimore. .com will join me, and we got a couple of other surprise guests. I don't want to give it away yet because we're still trying to, unless Kevin has confirmed everything yet. But no, he hasn't.
Don't give it away yet.
We could have one or two others, one local and one national, coming on as well. So, regardless, it's all about the fans today and their predictions. And I got a few other things to get off my chest, as you know I would, after watching more national nitwits this morning embarrass themselves with ridiculous, nonsensical, delusional and laziness journalism out there because they just refuse to delve deeper into these games and look much deeper than what the obvious headlines are. But as usual, I will correct them.
Okay, I'm sure you will. Two final predictions. Bruce says Pats 32, Baltimore 17. Brady will shred the defense and show them to be over the hill. And he says, hope the Giants can squeeze a win out west. Looks like a great day of football. Sean says Pats 35, Ravens 14. I think the team is highly motivated after Saturday's win. I'm sure the team will be looking to get some payback for the beating they took in that 0-9 playoff game.
What's your prediction? I haven't heard them yet.
I'm saying 31-23.
Okay.
Patriots 31, Ravens 23.
I like it.
Eight points. And that's with the Patriots having a one turnover advantage in the giveaway takeaway. If it's dead even, it's going to go right down to the end.
Mine's going to be a little different. Might surprise you, but I'm going to save it till like 5:30 before I give my prediction.
That's fair.
I'm picking the Patriots to win.
Well, I was about to say, you're not going to scare us here, are you?
No, but maybe a little different than what people might think. And also, I have my Xbox picks, 7-1 so far.
Ooh,
incredible.
Really?
So I'll give you the Xbox simulation picks. There have been two out there I've seen today. One from ESPN that had the Patriots winning 34-24, and another one from our old pal Jim Cutler, who works for EI.
Yeah, right.
He simulated, it said 20, but honestly, I don't know if he had 15-minute quarters or what he did, but it said 24-7 Baltimore. And that game tracker thing that they simulate 100 times or whatever, the Patriots won 68% of the time. If that means anything, I mean, we all know that's crap. It's just for entertainment purposes only type.
Of course. Okay. Pete Shepard's coming up next. Our thanks to Russell Baxter, Eric Scalavino. Our thanks to all of you who contributed to the show. Great participation today. Phone, email, web, super stuff. We hope, of course, that if it turns in the affirmative this weekend for the Pats on Sunday, well, we're right back here, same Pats time, same Pats channel next week, counting it down to the Super Bowl. We'll keep thinking positive thoughts toward that direction. What a happy ending I see. My mind has been enabled. In the memory you overflow. Wanna be your superhero. Even if I tumble fall.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.